so many wonderful things happening this week. You know, I just had a feeling there might be a green glow coming from somewhere in that area. So I tried to balance it out, so I had a little bit of green over here, too. So this is the Ides of March. You don't have to be aware of anything, but today is the Ides of March. And a couple of days, we have St. Patrick's Day. And Friday, we have what? The equinox. Hello. Yeah, and I do a drum circle up in Waynesville if anyone wants to join us. Every equinox and every solstice at the Creative Thought Center from 1 to 2 in the afternoon. So we will be a drumming. So I have a question for you, and you probably don't have to think too hard about the answer. How many of you have ever been a teenager? I only see two hands. It makes me wonder about the rest of you. Hello? Okay. You still are probably like a teenager. So, thinking back to your teen years, or maybe it would have been in your 20s, how many remember the very first vehicle you ever got? Maybe you bought it, maybe it was given to you. Maybe it was a Porsche, maybe it was an Edsel. More like the Edsel. If anyone remembers an Edsel. You did? Okay. Well, anyway, I look at a vehicle as simply something that, you know, gets us from point A to point B. Now, how many of you, when you got your very first vehicle, were told this is the only vehicle you're ever going to have? You are never going to have another one, so you better take care of it. But even if you take care of it, eventually it's just going to rust out. The parts are going to not work. But that's it. Was anyone told that? Of course not. That'd be a bummer, wouldn't it? Well, like I said, a vehicle is simply something to get you from here to there. Well, we all know that we are not our bodies, right? We're a soul. But our body, and when a soul comes down here to planet Earth, it has to move around somehow. So God gave us these adorable, cute little bodies, these little things that we walk around in. Aren't we adorable? Think of yourself as adorable. Do me a favor. This is kind of our vehicle. Now, a lot of people believe we only get one of these ever. And I'm going to be talking, of course, about the possibility that we get more than one of these. That's called reincarnation. And I just want to do a disclaimer. If you don't believe in reincarnation, that's fine. Because not everyone does. We all have different belief systems. But so if you can just humor me and hear it as my truth, that would be great. Because I'm going to... And they've heard it from you and a lot, I'm sure. And I'm not going to go into the history of reincarnation, except to mention, and I know Bill has probably, and others have probably talked about it here, that all major religions have had that in their original teachings. You know, we have the Kabbalah, we have the Dead Sea Scrolls, we have all of the teachings of the Essenes, that Mary, Joseph, Jesus were all Essenes, and they very much believed in reincarnation. It's also in the Quran, and it's also in all the isms, you know, Hinduism, Buddhism. They all have had that as a basic belief. Now, it's been taken out of some of those beliefs, and so that's okay. Whatever you believe is fine, but this is what I'm going to be talking about today, and I'm going to start with a story about a man named Walter. His name is Walter Semke. Have any of you heard of him? He's actually the author of a book that I'll be talking about in a few moments called Return of the Revolutionaries. It was in 1984 that Walter, just on a lark, decided to have a psychic reading. Someone told him about a psychic that came to town, and he thought, I'll have a reading. He didn't really believe in psychics. He certainly didn't believe in reincarnation. But he went to this psychic, and during the reading, she said, you know, you were at one time John Adams, second president of the United States. And he rolled his eyes and thought that was kind of crazy, but he listened to her, and he didn't think much of it. In fact, he totally forgot about it for 12 years, never thought about it. And then one day, for some reason, he got curious. Someone reminded him about John Adams, and he thought, you know, I ought to look into that guy and just do some research. So in his research, he realized that a lot of the interests of John Adams, a lot of the things that he believed in and things that he did were very, he felt a real resonance with. It was like matching what he believed. He saw some pictures of John Adams and he said, you know, he does bear an awful lot of resemblance to me. Vice versa, I guess it would be. And then he started, in his research, he saw some of the other relatives of John Adams, Abigail Adams, and some of their children and other relatives, and he thought, you know, she reminds me of so-and-so, which I'll talk about that in a moment. And he started to really get a lot of intuitive hits about the fact that he may have actually been John Adams in another lifetime. He started to have more and more intuition. I forgot to mention Walter Simkew was a medical doctor at that time. In fact, I was going to connect with him a couple months ago, and realized that he died 2 years ago, and he was only in his 60s, so I'm not sure what that was about. So he's no longer with us, but after he became a medical doctor for many years, he got into writing his book and the research and did that full time. So anyway, he started to have a lot of intuitions about people who they may have been in a former lifetime. And he started to realize that a lot of them came back into this lifetime looking a lot like they did then. Bone structure in the face. And I'm going to be sharing some slides in a few moments. When I did this talk up in Creative Thought Center, I've done it twice up there, I used a PowerPoint, and so I had the slides up here. But since I couldn't do that here, I did make copies of four of the slides, which in a little while I'll have Claudia hand out. I only brought 11 copies, so if you are sitting next to someone you like, you might want to share with them. Even if you don't like them, that's a way to get to know them better. So as he's, don't look at them yet. So as Walter was getting these intuitive hits, more and more of them, he didn't really trust his own intuition that much. So he said, I really need a second opinion. I need someone that can really verify whether I'm right or whether I'm way off. Well, he got to know Kevin Ryerson. How many know Kevin Ryerson? Nobody? How many know Shirley MacLaine? No of her. How many have ever seen Out on a Limb, the film? Kevin Ryerson, she made Kevin Ryerson famous, really, because she got to know him. Out on a Limb, this is an aside, I'm really recommending that you all watch it, and you can watch it free online. It was not in the movies, it was a miniseries on TV, 3 nights in a row, and so it's long, it's about 4 hours long. I've watched it many, many times and shared it, but it's Shirley MacLaine telling her own personal story of her spiritual awakening. She plays herself in it, and of course you can see some of her singing and dancing, as well as hearing her story of her awakening. It's really a great movie. And at some point in that movie, she introduces Kevin Ryerson, who is a very well-known psychic medium. He channels 4 different entities, and he lives in, I think, the LA. He's still working, lives in the LA area. So Walter Simkew reached out to him, and they became friends. And from then on, for everything in the books that Walter has written, they coordinated. He would go to Kevin Ryerson and say, well, is this correct? Is this person really was that person? And Kevin would go into his trance, and he would bring through one of his guides that he channels named Atun Ray. And he would either verify, yes, that is a match, or it isn't. So where do I want to go with this now? Okay, and there are many other researchers doing the same kind of work. Ian Stevenson has written a lot of books about that. Norm Shealy, a whole bunch of others. So Walter continued his research. He actually became on the board of directors of the International Association of Regression Research Therapies and a whole lot of other things. So he's a very credible person. And of course, Kevin Ryerson is famous for being very accurate, and he was for Shirley MacLaine too. Even Elizabeth Kubler-Ross had many readings with Kevin Ryerson, and he, one of the people he channels, actually helped her in her death process, if you're familiar with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. So at this point, if you could hand out, I have 11 copies. There's 4 pages stapled together. Just look at the first one. And like I said, if you can share, there should be enough for everyone. Yes. He was a medical doctor, but no, I think he just kind of let that go. Right. Nope. So you're really only supposed to look at the first page, Bill. But I'm going to hand you this book, so when I ask for it, you can hand it to me. Yeah, if there's... Oh, I forgot. Yes. Okay. So just as some examples, there's many, many pictures in that book that Bill is not supposed to be looking at. And Bill's a rebel, we know that. So how many... the very first picture, if you can just stay on the first page, and I'll tell you when to turn the page. I know you all cheated already. Okay, on the left is a woman named Dorothy Dandridge. Have you all heard of her?
Yes.
Yeah. She was, of course, an actress and a singer back in the days whenever there was a lot of racial bias. It was very difficult for a woman and a black woman to break into the entertainment field. But she, her whole life was about that, helping to pave the way for black American women to be in the entertainment field. And she was actually born in Cleveland, Ohio. She was the first woman to be nominated for an Oscar. And she was very successful. She had a difficult career and life, but on the other hand, she did break into the new, breaking into that field for women. She died in 1965. She was from Cleveland. In 1968, 3 years later, Halle Berry was born in Cleveland, Ohio, I think in the same hospital. Halle Berry, of course, has spent, you're familiar with Halle Berry, the actress nowadays, and she, of course, is all about continuing that same work that she did as Dorothy Dandridge, and she is the first black American woman who actually won the Oscar. So, and you can see a slight resemblance there. I mean, to me, that's one of the most stunning resemblances in the book of all the people. So they have a very similar facial look. They, of course, came back in the same type of a body. They are doing the same kind of work. So it's like that soul who incarnated as Dorothy Dandridge, in theory, if you believe this, in 3 years later, reincarnated as Halle Berry, so she could continue that same kind of work. If you want to turn to the second one, the man on the right is Jeffrey Keane. Now, these pictures from the book, I think the book came out about 20 years ago, so I don't know if he is still doing the same thing. But the man on the right, Bill, you're not supposed to go further. I'm watching you. Is there a second? I hope. Yep, that's it. Okay, the man on the right is Jeffrey Keane. So when this picture was taken, Jeffrey was a firefighter and the assistant fire chief in Westport, Connecticut. And he, let me think here. He and his wife were on a vacation one day. He didn't know much about the Civil War, but they were on a vacation. He's written a book. I haven't read his book, but this is what's in this book. They were on a vacation, and they stopped in the town of Sharpsburg, Maryland, and that's where the Battle of Antietam had been fought during the Civil War. He was unfamiliar with all of that, but his wife decided to look through some shops, and he wanted to go out and get some fresh air. He decided to take a walk along the battlefield. So he's just walking along, and all of a sudden, he was overcome with emotion. He started to cry. He started to shake. He didn't have any idea what was coming over him. And he got to the point where he almost couldn't stand up. He was a little worried that he couldn't make it back to the car to meet up with his wife again. But he finally did. He finally got back to the car, and he was better by then, but he didn't know what that was about. And he didn't even tell his wife, because he had no clue what just happened to him. So they continued their vacation. Before they left Sharpsburg, they stopped into a souvenir shop. And he bought a magazine about the Civil War, and he bought a bullet. You know, they find bullets around battlefields, and they sell them as souvenirs. So he bought those, and then they continued their vacation. When they got home, he put that magazine into a drawer and forgot about it for a whole year, never even looked at it. A year later, I think as he tells it, he was having a psychic reading, and the psychic said, you know, you were shot in a war, in the Civil War. And he was really shocked by that, because he knew nothing about the Civil War. But he remembered that he had purchased this magazine. So when he got home, he found the magazine, started looking through it, and he found a picture of General John Gordon. And he said, I know that face. I shave it every morning. Now you can see the bone structure of the face. You know, it's very similar. And of course, firefighters are helping people. You know, that's what they come to do. Well, generals in the war, they're really there to help mankind. Maybe war doesn't always help, but that's really kind of a connection that they had there. There was another man I didn't make a picture of, but another man who looked very similar to the person that he was back then, and he works with Jeffrey Kean. So going to the next slide, John Edwards. How many know of John Edwards? It's another psychic medium. I think he had a TV show called Crossing Over. I don't think he still has that, but he's a very well-known psychic medium. And Kate Fox, of course, if you're familiar with spiritualism, it started with the Fox family who lived in the New England states, moved into a house that they felt was maybe haunted. The Fox sisters would rap on the wall, and there would be something rapping back to them. And that started a whole communication with something on the other side of the wall, but the other side, you know, the other side. Disembodied spirits, I guess we'll call them. And they started the whole communication there. And that was the beginning of the whole spiritualism movement, which is filled with psychics and connecting with the other side, with people on the other side. I see a lot of similarity there. I don't know if it's in the eyes or what it is, but he's doing in this lifetime, even though he's a male now, if that was him then, he was a female then, but he's doing the same type of work. And there were several others in my originals, my original slide presentation. I had John Kennedy, I had Martin Luther King, I had Al Gore, I had several others, and there are many of them in that book. But the only other one I brought was the one that, of course, piqued my interest the most. The man on the right, of course, is not a good picture of him, but that's my boss. That is Neil Donald Walsh. And the book itself, can you hand me the book? It's called Return of the Revolutionaries. And the premise of this book is that there were a group of people, a group of people, not all men, during the American Revolutionary War. Now, the American Revolutionary War was fought, I think, from 1775 till 1778. And it was really to disconnect us from the rule of England, right? That's when it was our revolution. So there were a group of people then, including John Adams and many others, who were assisting us in that whole scenario. John, let me think here how I want to explain this. It's kind of hard to explain. So whenever Walter Semke discovered that he may have been John Adams, the second president, and he's looking at other pictures, and he realized that Abigail Adams reminded him a lot of someone we're all familiar with, Marianne Williamson, that she may have been part of this group, during the American Revolution, moving America into a new way of being. He also discovered, I don't know if you're familiar with John Hagelin, he actually ran for president back in 2000. A lot of people don't know who he is. He was running on the, what party? Natural Law Party. And Neil was very much in support of that. So John Hagelin, Dennis Kucinich, Shirley MacLaine, herself, and Neil, these were all, according to this book, this was a group of people during the American Revolution who worked together to create a new way of being for America because we were stepping out on our own, right? It was a spiritual revolution. So the premise of the book is that that same group of souls are back right now during these times because America's going through another kind of a revolution right now, a spiritual revolution. And I think we're all aware of the changes that are going on right now. I know people have different beliefs about what's going on. Personally, I think it's a wonderful thing that's going on, even though there's a lot of things that are sad happening. But these are things that are having to happen in order to disconnect us from some control that we have been under for many thousands of years. Everything right now is being broken down because we, the people, will be building it up again. So every structure of our lives, this is my belief and many of us believe it, every structure, whether it is our governments, our medical situation, our educational system, our all the other systems that we have been living our lives under have been really controlling us. We've not really been free. Right now, things are being destroyed so that we can build them up and regain our freedom. Right now, America is going through a new kind of a revolution. And these souls that helped us during the American Revolution are helping right now, including, of course, Marianne Williamson. We're familiar with her. Now, my boss, Neil, was told, or Walter and Kevin said that Neil Donald Walsh, during those times, had been a minister. His name was Reverend William Walter, the man on the left of that picture, or the other side. I don't see that much of a resemblance, maybe a little bit, but the nose structure, oftentimes it's in the structure of the nose, sometimes it's the eyes. He was told that he had been Reverend William Walter during that time. He gave assistance to the revolutionaries during that time. He was an advocate for the Anglican cause at that time. In other words, a new spirituality. And that's exactly what Neil is doing in this lifetime with his conversations with God. He's bringing about a new way of understanding God. And we get so many letters and emails from people who have among the millions of people that have read Neil's books, and they say, thank goodness you brought me back to God, because they had moved away from the traditional belief in God, and now they have a God they can believe in. So Neil is really doing his part in that way. So anyway, Kevin Ryerson's guides identified him as Walter or Walters was what they came up with. So, of course, Walter Simkew goes to the New England Historical Genealogical Society and had them do some research. And yes, indeed, they did find a Reverend William Walters. He was the rector of Trinity Church in Boston and later the Christ Church also in Boston during those times. So, and he, in those times, also helped a man named John Otis, who today is John Hagelin. You see, there's a lot of connections there. It's hard to get all the connections without reading the book. But they were all working together back then. Now, this, of course, made me curious if I had any connection, because I've been working with Neil, and I still do, even though I'm 3,000 miles away from him. I'm still his personal assistant. And that job just fell into my lap. I didn't have to go fill out an application and say, oh, I want to work for him. Spirit guide has guided me my whole life, everywhere I've gone. So after living in, well, first Pennsylvania and then Virginia and then Maryland and then Ohio and then Colorado, I was guided to move to Oregon for no reason. I had no reason to move there. I just asked to be guided, and I happened to drive there. And as soon as I saw the little town of Ashland, I thought, okay, I guess I'm supposed to move here. And that's where Neil lives. And one day his personal assistant called me and said, can you come up to Neil's house and be here in 5 minutes? I said, okay. I walk in and she says, I'm moving back east. He needs a new personal assistant. She takes me in his office. He interviews me and says, okay, you can start on Monday. It's like it just fell into my lap. And so that made me wonder if I have worked with Neil before, back in those revolutionary times. So I had a reading with Kevin Ryerson. I don't think he does private readings anymore, but this was like 20 years ago, 15 years ago, whatever it was. And I had a reading with Kevin, and he told me several of my past lives, but he also told me that I had been, who am I? He said my name would have been either Richard Howard, or it could have been Howard Richards, but those names were in there. He said that I had trained for the ministry under Reverend William Walters, Neil, that he said that my name and my portrait would be preserved somewhere in one of those two churches in Boston. He said that while Neil, I mean, Reverend, you know, who Neil was then, and John Adams, when they would take the pulpit, they would really have a booming voice and really blast out their words, whereas I was more laid back. He said I probably would have maybe done some of the opening prayers at Continental Congress, things like that. So anyway, I just thought it was kind of intriguing. I had never really thought of that aspect before. I know some of my other past lives, but that one I hadn't had before. So I did go to the Genealogical Society and had them do some research, but you have to pay for research. So they did a couple of hours, and they said, well, we haven't found it yet, but we can continue searching. Some of the records had been destroyed in fires, but they had two churches, you know, to look into. But I didn't really want to pay for any more at that time. I decided it's not really important. It's interesting, but we don't have to know who we've been in other lifetimes, because this is a lifetime we're in. It's important to focus on this lifetime. In one of Neil's books, I think it's maybe Conversations with God, Book 3, he has the infinity sign, you know, the infinity sign on the side. And one side, he says, you can imagine it, is this is the spiritual realm, and this side is the physical realm. And he said, you know, we come from the spiritual realm into the physical realm, into an incarnation. We live that incarnation. Then we cross back over, what we would call death, cross over back into the spiritual realm for a time. We decide if we want to come back. Maybe we're working on some karmic thing. Maybe we did something in this lifetime that we want to now make up for. It's called karma. And so we go back into the spiritual realm and back into the physical and on and on and on. Most people who believe in reincarnation believe we've had hundreds, maybe thousands of incarnations. Some would probably be insignificant. Maybe we only lived a day or so. Or maybe there just wasn't anything to remember. But the ones, we may have things in other incarnations that we are still carrying with us. How many have a fear of something that you really don't know why you have that fear? I know I came into this lifetime with a fear of water. My mom, my sister, my cousin, and I all had a fear of water. So I've always believed that we probably drowned together. I've drowned more than once, but I know that I'm holding on to that. I was in my 30s before I ever put my face in water. I couldn't even take a shower because that was water up there coming down on me. And I went to a hypnotherapist who had a whole group of people. And, you know, I managed to put my head underwater for the first time in my life in my 30s. And that was the last time I did it. but at least I can do water aerobics now because I have those things that are holding me up above the water. But that's a fear. There's no reason for me to have that fear unless it really came with me. Sometimes people may have, you may have a fear of certain people of a different culture, a different race or something, and you don't know why because you've never met one. Or all kinds of things that we may be carrying with us, that came with us, that we now need to release. And you can do a past life regression. That's one way sometimes to really understand why do I have this fear? Why am I holding on to this obsession? Why anything? Or you can just ask spirit to show you. I did have a situation when I was first becoming a massage therapist back in 1995. And I'm not one anymore, but I was then. And I noticed I had a pain in my right elbow, and it went on for months. I usually let things go for months. I don't go to a doctor. And finally it went away, and then I had a pain in my right shoulder. And that went on for months. And then I had another pain, but it was always on my right side. And finally, and I thought it might interfere with me being a massage therapist. So I finally just asked spirit, show me what this is about. What is it that's going on in my body that I keep having all these things on my right side? And it took about 2 or 3 days, I think. And one morning as I was waking up, I was in that hypnagogic state, you know, in between not really asleep, but not really wide awake. And I there was like a whole picture. It was like watching a TV. And I saw this huge fire, and I saw a group of women walking counterclockwise around it, having been accused of being witches. You know, this is during the witch trials. And I saw that I was one of these women. I saw my mom in this lifetime, another one of the women. I saw that there were a lot of crowds of jeering people. I saw my dad and my sister in among those. Don't tell them that. And I was told that they were forcing us to watch until we were to walk until we were so exhausted we would fall, and someone in the outer circle would grab us by the arm and make us stand up again. And I was told that I was holding the energy of being yanked up. I was holding that energy in some of the joints on the right side. And as soon as I had that vision, and you know, I did some prayer work that day, and all those things went away. So I had to give it some kind of credence. I had to think, maybe that's really what happened, because it's gone now. So we never know. We might even come back with a passion for something, not knowing why we have that passion. One thing that I love, and I'm sure a lot of you share this, is I love animals, all animals, especially cats. I can't even stand to see an animal. I can't stand to see Lassie get her feelings hurt. I could never watch Lassie because someone might hurt her feelings. I just can't. And it dawned on me one day, I wonder if maybe in a previous life I had been abusive to animals. And so I came back in this lifetime to protect them. I made a decision almost 40 years ago to never eat an animal again. That's just my choice, and that's my main reason for being a vegetarian. But, you know, there are so many things that we have, whether it's a fear or a passion, that we don't really understand why we have it. We might not understand why certain people are in our lives, because everybody that's in our lives, whether they play a major role in our lives, or whether we just see them in a grocery store and have some short interaction, I believe all of those are designed to help us to grow. So that's really what I wanted to say today. And like I said, it's not really important that we know about our past lives, but if there's anything in your life that you wonder about, that you wish you could release, a fear, a habit, something, it might be good to look into your past life, or at least ask your guides for guidance, and you'll be guided to understand it, and then you can release it. Because the times we're going through right now, it's really important that we not hold on to all those blocks that we have had in the past. We can't hold on to our fears. We can't hold on to any fear right now, because fear is a low vibration. We are raising our vibration because we are going through what we call, many of us call, the ascension process, and that means raising the frequency of the earth. And every single thought that we think, every word that we speak, every fear we hold on to, or every love that we can send out, that's all making a difference in where the planet is going right now. So we're all in this together. So let's just raise our frequency and let go of those things that no longer serve us. So, thank you. I hope to see you again in my next lifetime. Thank you.